Yes, here we are then. It is the Ebor Festival at York. Four great days racing on the Knavesmire. Really looking forward to this. And it is our top five bets video. It's the first time we've ever done a top five bets video for the York Ebor Festival. We know you love these videos for the big meeting, so we've brought you another one. And on my panel today, I'm joined by Robbie Wilders, Jimmy Hill, and from Unibet, Ed Nicholson. Ed, it's going to be a great week up at York. We're obviously filming this on a Monday, but we've got 4 days of action, Wednesday through Saturday, highlighted by the Ebor Handicap on the Saturday, but plenty of offers, I'd imagine, across the week from Unibet.
Yeah, something for everybody at York, both in terms of the horses that are running, the races that take part, and the offers that Unibet will have. The normal money back second, third will be one of the early races each day. Extra places galore, always plenty of runners at York, especially in those handicaps, and best industry price as well, as Super Boosts and Uni Boosts. So plenty of offers. Just go to unibet.co.uk/enclosure, and every day you'll be able to get all the suite of offers that Unibet have for you.
There you go, all the offers there for you with Unibet. Do check them out across the week. And for those who haven't seen or heard this show before, what are you doing? We've had plenty of winners over the last few weeks. Ed Lanning is nap at the weekend, 15-2 with Copple. We had 20-1 winners, 8-1 winners, plenty of decent price selections. So hopefully we can go in again. But this show is all about the top five. We run through from 5-1, ending with the best bet from the guys for the meeting. So we're going to start off at number five, and making his debut on the top five shows is Jimmy Hill. Jimmy, what is your fifth best bet of the week?
Yeah, an unusual one for me here, Ed. It's just a horse that's only had the one run, Without Prejudice, in the Gautra Stakes. She's running the 4:10 on Thursday. Just a one start, likely Sable second string as well, but she's a very interesting contender for the Gosdens. 240,000 guineas, half sister to Emily Upjohn, and from the same connections as Lartidar, who won this race in 2018. She won on her debut at Newmarket in a very good time, spread-eagling her rivals that day. She was getting £7 from the second, but that one's already rated 87, and she was a 1-3 shot too, so very impressive victory. And when you consider she's getting £9 from the rest of her rivals here, that would put her right into contention. And like I said, she's very lightly raced. The two ahead of her in the betting are probably the two to beat, her stablemate Mora 4 and Rhapsody, who's now rated in the hundreds. But one interesting stat in this race is that two of the last four winners were unrated, and she's the only unrated runner in among this entry. So I think she's worth a good bet in that race, at each way odds at least. That's Without Prejudice.
Yep. Okay, Without Prejudice, the 4:10 at York on Thursday. Yeah, looking like the second string there, but a good case made by Jimmy. Robbie Wilders, welcome to the show. Your fifth best bet of the week, please, sir.
Cheers, Sammy boy. Fifth best. Going to go to the 5 furlong sprint handicap on Wednesday, 4:45. I like Manatee Memas. Been a really consistent horse for David O'Mara this season. Won really impressively on his debut in Doncaster, and then I've been following him closely ever since. He was fourth in a listed race at this track over course, and this is the Westo Stakes. Form's worked out pretty well, simplifies, come out and won a decent listed race at Chester. And his only bad run was one at Sandown the following month. But his two handicap starts in really deep races have been really promising, including one over this course and distance behind Nana Shadow, who reopposes his favourite here, but she'll be £19 worse off with Manatee Memas. Just think he's been inexperienced, he's coming forward all the time. There's another big run at Goodwood behind Nana's Shadow again. He's waiting to finish much closer. It's interesting the first time tongue tie goes on. I definitely think he's a sprinter on a good mark, and it's about 7-1. I think that's a pretty good each way bet with about five places up for grabs, I believe.
Yeah, there'll likely be extra places in a race like that. Manatee Memas, who was so impressive, like Robbie said, on debut, hasn't quite come and won a race since, but could do on the 4:45 on the Wednesday at York. Ed Nicholson, to you then, your fifth best bet, please.
Yeah, fifth bet comes in the Nunthorpe, which this year's Friday at 3:35. I'm going to go for good old Rumstar, who hasn't won a Group 1. In fact, Jonathan Portman, his trainer, has never won a Group 1. He's had five chances. He's only had five times that he's had a horse in a Group 1 race. And each of those occasions, it's been good old Rumstar, who came fifth in the Nunthorpe this race 2 years ago, not beaten far, about four and a quarter lengths, I think, and ran a cracker last time out of Goodwood, just finding American Affair too good for him in the Group 2. Arguably, he's in the form of his life. The RPR suggests that he is, although he has had higher ratings officially from the BHA in the past. I think that might put him spot on, that run. That race with American Affair, the price interests me as well, which is why he's coming in at number five, because American Affair was double his price at Goodwood, and this time around, Rumstar is double the price of American Affair, which doesn't seem right, really, just for half a length beating, given that he was the horse that went into that race with probably better form than American Affair. So around about 16-1, I thought Rumstar was a decent start for the top five at number five. But it is a really competitive race. There's plenty of horses rated within just a few pounds of each other by the BHA official handicapper. So anything could win. It's going to be a cracking race. I just thought Rumstar was a big price, 16-1.
Okay, Rumstar, Fred Nixon, his first bet comes in one of the Group 1s of the week. It looks like an absolute cracker, as Ed said, a real international affair for that sprint on the Friday. Right, let's get number four then, and I'm going to throw it to you, Robbie Wilders. Your fourth best bet, please.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Let's go to Thursday, the nursery, 7 furlongs, 4:45. Really like a horse called Walaif, trained by Ed Bethel, who I think is going to be a serious trainer to follow over the next few years. Bethel's horse is running superbly at the moment. He's 9 from his last 22. He's won 4 on the bounce. He's in great form. And this horse absolutely won as he liked from the front at Doncaster in a really good time on his handicap debut last time. I think it's hard to do that at Doncaster. It's more of a hold-up runner's track. As I say, the time is excellent. He's got a Champagne Stakes entry. He's up £5, but I think he's definitely going to be very competitive. And I think this is a very well handicapped horse. I wouldn't be surprised if he was running in group races next month.
Okay, yeah, Walaif in the 4:45 in the nursery on the Thursday. That's an interesting one because the jockey Oshin Orr currently riding at the time recording at 38% strike rate from 29 rides. So he's in really good form. Hot jockey at the moment. Ed Nixon, I'll go to you for number four, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a once raced individual in the ACOM on Wednesday at 2:25. A lot of these horses in this race have had plenty of races, but Andrew Balding's Gentle Hurricane has only had one run, and that was a successful one at Salisbury. And the reason why I'm putting him up, he does have to improve. I mean, he obviously has to improve, but I think he will. As we all know, Andrew Balding's horses come on a ton for their first run, and any horse from that stable that does win first time out is normally well above average. I just had a look at some of the stats. Since 1997, he's had 1,361 horses, two-year-olds, make their, obviously, debut. Only 100 of them won, so that's 7%. But of those horses that win first time out, they are normally quite useful. Horses like Sandrine, Gawain, Alcohol Free, Kamiko, they all won their novice event and then went into Group 3 next time out, and they all ran well. Not all of them won, but they all came first or second or third. And Gentle Hurricane's doing the same. One is novice at Salisbury, a game which, you know, they don't often win Andrew Balding's first time out. And then now he's in this Group 3 ACOM. And the final kind of cherry on the top is that the stable do particularly well in this race with these type of horses. Over the last few years, go back to 2021, Imperial Fighter from the Balding camp came second, Chaldean won, Jouncey came seventh, and Gawain won last year at fairly big odds. And two of those horses, Chaldean and Gawain, went on to win the Dewhurst, and this horse is in the Dewhurst. So, I mean, there's plenty of like stuff to like about this horse. And then the final piece is the price. He'll be about 12-14-1 at this stage. I'm expecting there to be support. But Sheen Murphy on a 12-1, once raced, once won, Balding two-year-old in the ACOM, it's just too big. So that's going to be my bet. Fourth bet is going to be Gentle Hurricane in the ACOM.
Yeah, Gentle Hurricane, 2:25 on the Wednesday. I was actually a bit shocked to see Nibati, the Godolphin horse, taken out of this. The reason I say that is the last couple of years they've had a decent horse being beaten in the ACOM Stakes that's ended up running well in the Guineas. I think they had Ruling Court a couple of years ago, won the Guineas, and they had Distant Storm, who finished third in it this year. So it's a shame they've not got a horse in here, because I was waiting for that to get beaten and then go on to back that for the Guineas once again. But yeah, Gentle Hurricane looks a big price for Ed Nixon. Hafner, the favourite for that race. Jimmy Hill, your fourth best bet, please.
Yeah, it's going to be Johanna Walsh in the Yorkshire Oaks, 3:35 on Thursday. Yorkshire Oaks is a race where three-year-olds have a super record. Now, admittedly, this time we've got two really good older horses taking on Johanna Walsh. And Kalpana's a short price favourite, understandably, after a King George win. Just a question mark whether I think she's going to put in the same sort of performance. She was actually beaten at odds of 1-2 following her King George run last year when she was beaten at Kempton. And you just wonder whether she's the same sort of filly away from Ascot. Five or six or seven top RPRs are at Ascot. So clearly that is her home. So she's got races on the horizon like the Ark and Champion Stakes. You just wonder if she'll be at her best again. Mini Hawk, I think you can more confidently take on. She just doesn't look the same horse to me this year. I know she was impressive when she won this in 2025. But other than her Prince of Wales has run at Royal Ascot, she's been disappointing. And Johanna Walsh is very much the filly on the up. I mean, she's been improving with everyone. Very impressive performance at the Curragh last time when she won the Irish Oaks. And she's trained by the men of the year in racing terms, Joseph O'Brien and Dylan Brown McMonagall. And she kind of fits the profile of the sort of filly we're looking to win this. And I think if anything is going to beat Kalpana, it's going to be her.
Okay, yeah, Johanna Walsh, I mean, been very popular in the social media sphere from what I've been seeing as well. Looking like a decent value stakes, around 9-2 there, taking on Kalpana and Mini Hawk is Jimmy Hill. Third best bet then, we're in the middle selection now. Ed Nixon, you're going to start things off here. Who is at number three?
It's a Wednesday again in the Great Voltigeur, and I think Maltese Cross is going to win. I think he's a fair price as well.
Yeah.
He does have to carry a penalty, and I was worried about that because I don't like horses that have to carry a penalty. He obviously won the Grand Prix de Paris last time out, Group 1. This is a Group 2. So he does have to carry a penalty. But looking at the record, the horses nowadays do carry penalties in this race. They never used to. But Los Angeles carried a £5 penalty in 2024 when he won the Irish Derby and came back and won this. And even last year, Pride of Arras had a £3 penalty for winning a race. I just think that they've got chances here of having another win with Maltese Cross. That's Haggis and Marquand, following that epic victory over in France when he just didn't get the rub of the green. And he showed a tremendous A, turn of foot, B, resolution to get up that gap. Tom Marquand, I think I'm right in saying, said he got him out of trouble. And obviously he was the best horse in the race, although there were just heads and necks between the top four in the race. With a clear run, he would have won, half a length to a length, and at least that's good form. He's shown that he stays already. He's got good form at mile and a half, but he's got that turn of foot. York, he won't get any trouble coming up the Naismire. I just thought it was a good price. There are some good horses against him, including Christmas Day, who I think needs further on this sort of ground. And I thought at the prices, I couldn't believe that he was like 2-1. So Maltese Cross will be my third best selection.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And for some reason, even despite the form figures of 1-1, 1-2, 1, I just don't think people have really latched onto this horse. But I think he's a proper animal, Maltese Cross. I'm really excited to see him. And Tom Marquand said that he thought he was being overlooked once again in the Great Voltigeur. So hopefully he can go in for Ed, and he'll be one of the selections that I make during the week as well. Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Robbie Wilder is your third best bet, please.
Jasam, we are going to go to the mile handicap for three-year-olds on Friday at 1:50. Zenor Storm is favourite at a general sort of 6-1, but I could see him going off a hell of a lot shorter. I thought he was one of the biggest eye catchers of the week at Glorious Goodwood in a deep race won by Exclusive Code, who is a similar price at the moment, but I think he did awfully well to get a length within the winner that day because it was a slow run affair. The winner front ran, and Zenor Storm, two furlongs out, he's about 13th, 14th place. He's absolutely flew home. It's William Haggis. It's a well-handicapped three-year-old running at York, and I think that'll be his day. I think he was sent off quite a big price at Goodwood. I just feel like all roads would have lead here. Indeed, his best run was at the track, at this track beforehand in June. He looks like he's come forward all the time. I think he'll take a lot of beating.
Okay, from one Haggis selection to another, Zenor Storm in the 1:50 at York on Friday for Robbie. Going to be around a sort of 11-2, 6-1 shot in that race there. Jimmy Hill, your number three, please.
My number three is in the big one, in the Judmore International on Wednesday at 3:35. fancy Constitution River to be Ombudsman. Reason for that, I just think the favourite's a little bit overrated. I know he looked very, very good in the Prince of Wales's at Royal Ascot. That was probably his best performance. But he had the race runner suit there. He was beating mile and a half horses in Derees and Mini Hawk. And I think you can make a case against him on last season's form. I mean, they didn't take him to Ireland to take on the Aidan O'Brien horses over Irish Champions weekend. He got beaten in the Champion Stakes by Calandagan, best horse in the world at the time. But I think Calandagan, this will probably be the best horse he's faced since then in Constitution River. I think what marks out Aidan O'Brien's best horses is not just their how classy they are, but also how tough they are. And I think that's the case with this one. He's looked very good this season after winning at Chester. He overcame a wide draw to win the French Derby. And then he looked very classy in the Eclipse off a really strong pace. I mean, he's had pacemakers this season, but I mean, Aidan O'Brien's made these races strongly run races because he knows he's got the horse who can cope with it. He looks very durable, very tough, and looked very good when he won the Eclipse. Eclipse winners have a very good record in this race in recent years. And I just think he can cause a little bit of an upset and defeat the favourite. Another reason why people seem to prefer Ombudsman is that he's got the course form, of course, having won this race last year. But an interesting stat for me here is that 18 of the last 24 winners had no previous experience at York. So that doesn't suggest that form on the Naismar is that crucial. And I think Constitution River looks another Aidan O'Brien winner in this race. It's going to be a cracker.
It is going to be an absolute cracker. It really is. And definitely worth watching our York preview show that went out on Sunday evening. Graham Robway is very keen on Constitution River. He's come on this podcast before and said plenty of regards to how good this horse could potentially be. And he's up to prove it again on the Wednesday at York. If the other two guys on this show haven't got an opinion or put one of those horses in their best bets, I will get an opinion at the end of the show. Robbie Wilders, it's next best time and you're going to go first.
Thank you very much indeed, Sam. The next best, the Harry's Half Million by Goffs, 2.25 on Thursday. Sun Goddess is a short price favourite in here. I'd be stunned if she ran, to be honest, 11 days after winning the Phoenix Stakes. I know it's worth a hell of a lot of money, it's 250k, but she looks like she's Aidan O'Brien's standout sprinter, two-year-old sprinter at this stage. I'd be shocked if she ran. There is a very classy horse in there, I think, called Satellite of Love, trained by Clive Cox, who has a superb record in this race. He won in good style on his debut at Windsor. He then followed up under a penalty, beat a subsequent Glorious Goodwood maiden winner at Agrippa, the fourth, won by three lengths last week as well. I think he's a smart horse, and Clive Cox is deadly in these sort of races. I think he'll go off close to favourite, and I think he's still a backable price. So I think this is a classy one, and I'm very keen to see how high he can rate before the end of the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? That six furlong contest on the Thursday, 2.25. Toycado's coming over for Amy Murphy, who's looked brilliant in France. I agree with Robbie, I'd be surprised if Sun Goddess runs. But Satellite of Love, after a good weekend for Clive Cox, can they have another good week on the Naismire? Around a 5-1 shot there. Jimmy Hill, your next best, please, for York.
Yes, Sam, it's Hopewell Rock in the Ebor on Saturday at 3.35. My favourite flat handicap, this. I don't think this year's a classic renewal. I don't think we've got an ethical diamond in there this time. But Tarrant's favourite, I think he deserves to be. He's last year's Melrose winner over the course and distance, and he's clearly been prepped for this. He was an eye catcher at Goodwood last time, but Hopewell Rock beats him well, and I think the bookmakers making him 4 points bigger. I think that's a bit too much. I certainly expect it to be closer between the pair, but I see no reason why Hopewell Rock won't go very close. He's improving, trained by a top outfit for George Bowie. Really good attitude. I really like what I've seen so far. I mean, other than that Ascot run this season, he's looked really smart. Still don't think he's that badly handicapped despite his penalty. I think he's still better off with Dakiri Bay for their meeting at Newmarket in May. And I just think this is a race that will really suit him. Bowie's said in the past he expects him to be a cup horse of the future, and I think they've talked about the Melbourne Cup as well as a possible target. So I would be disappointed if he finished out of the first four here. I think at odds of around 12-1, he's a good bet.
Yeah, Hopewell Rock. Yeah, George Bowie has talked this horse up as a potential cup horse and will need to be going close, you'd have thought, in a race like this to prove that he can be. Ed Nixon, you're the last one to give a next best before we get the naps after this.
Yeah, I'm going to the Yorkshire Oaks Thursday, 3:35. I think Kalpana will go off odds on. Therefore, I think 11 to 8, 5 to 4 at time recording is a fair price for one of the best mares in training. Interesting what Jimmy was saying. I do take his point. This is a good race for three-year-olds coming up. And Kalpana has got an excellent record at Ascot. But having gone through the form, there are reasons why she doesn't win elsewhere, I think. Over too short a distance when running in, you know, places like the Curragh, good to really soft ground at Longchamp. The only, I think, poor performance maybe away from Ascot of recent note is probably that Kempton run in the September Stakes, the Unibet September Stakes, when she got beaten by a horse that ended up being placed in the arc. So on reflection, it probably wasn't as bad a race as it looked when she got beat at 1-2. So I'm not too sure. The stats do suggest that she is better at Ascot, but I do think there are reasons why she hasn't won elsewhere. So I'm gonna suggest that's the reason why, and I'm gonna be all in Kalpana at the 5-4, 11-8. She put in, arguably and officially given by the BHA, her best performance last time to win the King George in really eye-catching style. I mean, I couldn't believe it was the same Kalpana that won that beating Calandigan. I just thought Calandigan was going to go past her, but she ran on resolutely to the line. And that was her best form. So, you know, I do take Jimmy's point. There is still a doubt, but I think the doubters will be put firmly in their place. I think she'll show that Ascot's not the only place where she can run top-class races. I think York, where she's never raced before, I think this will be her day again in the Yorkshire Oaks. And around about odds, well, 5-4, 11-8. I think she'll be odds on come the day. A lot of the horses in entered at the moment are Aidan O'Brien, 7 of the 14. So there'll be plenty of wastage coming out of the race. But I am worried about Joanna Walsh, I must admit. But I think that's the only horse that can beat her.
Okay, yeah, Matt Rennie was really keen on Kalpana as well. Thought the 5-4 was very fair and thought the horse would go off odds on, as Ed said. In complete agreement there, but keep it simple with Kalpana in the Yorkshire Oaks. Right, best bet time shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back then for the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Top 5 bets for the York Ebor Festival. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Jimmy Hill and Unibet's Ed Nixon. Now giving our best bets for the week ahead. Going to be intrigued to know who the guys really fancy for this week. And Jimmy Hill, I'm going to let you have the honours. Who is going to win at York this week?
Best bet of the week is Mission Central in the non-4 on Friday at 3:35. You still get 12-1. I think that's fantastic odds. I really do. Aidan O'Brien's run 6 Group 1 winners in this race before. He's won with 2 of them. And if you put them all together, I think they come to about a medium SP of just under 13-8 when they raced. None of them had won a Group 1 over 5 furlongs either, which makes, I think, Mission Central's odds look even more interesting. I think, you know, rare thing for Ballydoyle, all three of the older horses who were above her in the market, I mean, he beat them comfortably in the King Charles the Third Stakes. I say beat them comfortably. He was the best horse on his side, comfortably the best horse on his side, but he beat them running on really well at Ascot when he won the King Charles the Third. And I think you can forget his run at Newmarket last time. It just didn't look like a track that suited him at all to me. I think this will be much more in his favour. A fast run, 5 furlongs is what he needs. He's won all his starts over that distance this season. And I'm very surprised he's not shorter in the betting. There is forecast to be a bit of rain this week. If there was a lot, that would be a concern. But, I mean, given the summer we are having, I believe that when I see it. And I just think he could go really well. And he'll definitely be my best bet of the week. You won't find a better bet all week than Mission Central at 12-1.
Wow, yeah, he's a big price once again, Mission Central, in these sprints. Fraden O'Brien, but yeah, Mission Central in the Nunthorpe, the best bet for Jimmy Hill. Robbie Wilders, I'll come to you then for your best bet of the week, please, sir.
Yeah, Jimmy's made a great case, even though Riefka's going to win the Nunthorpe. But I'm also going to take Jimmy Hill on in the Galtra Stakes. He likes Without Prejudice. He makes a fine case as well. I just get concerned about a star man running over 1.4 for the first time. I don't know. Into my pedigrees. I'm bringing back a Gayaf filly to relish a step up in trip. Rhapsody, trained by William Haggis. She won from one at the track. She's an eye catcher, I thought, on her return in the Kensington Palace, won by her stablemate Alabea. That was Alabea's big day in the calendar. That was her return. And then she's taken a nice step forward at the Curragh in the Meadow Court Stakes, Group 3. Now, the winner, Moody, is running in the Yorkshire Oaks. She front ran that day. It was a very slowly run race, something like 111, 112% finishing speed. Rhapsody was much faster than her in the last couple of furlongs. I think she's going to improve again for this extra test of stamina at York. The Dam was a stayer as well. She's just got the pedigree to thrive over this longer distance. And I would just be essentially keen to take on the favourite, Morafour, whose best form is on the all-weather, and she's returning from 215 days off. That's not my sort of wager at a short price. So I think Rhapsody is going to love this, and she is about 6-1. I think that is lovely.
Rhapsody in the Galtra Stakes then for Robbie Wilders, his best bet of the week. And I was hosting the York preview show for us only a few days ago and had to give my best bet of the week, and my best bet, I think, is very much aligned with Mr. Ed Nicholson's.
Yeah, I think we both think Zavateri will come back to form and win the Group 1 now City of York Stakes. That's Saturday 3 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the horse, won Group 1 success last year, National Stakes over 7 furlongs, and then came here this season as a real contender to win the 2000 Guineas. Ran okay, although some were disappointed with the performance in the green and went second, but subsequently was found to not been 100% following that race and had over 100 days off the track before we saw him again. And that was in the Sussex Stakes, the great Sussex Stakes that Bo Echo won his final race on the race course, and it was a tremendous race to watch. And you may have not seen the way that Zavaretti ran because you were watching the horses in front. And, you know, you could be forgiven for that because it was a great race. But on watching the replay, just watch the way that Charlie Bishop rode Zavaretti, cold at the back over a mile, making ground, and then about the 1.5-2 furlong mark, was going for the same gap that Bo Echo was going for. And Bo Echo obviously going better and just bumped him, put him off his stride, but he still ran on. And he only finished just over 4 lengths fifth in a Group 1 over a mile after 102 days off the track following injury. I thought that was a really good run. And I know they've had this, that was Group 1 Sussex Stakes, so they obviously wanted to win it, but I know that they've had this race down as a target for this horse. I spoke to Charlie Bishop at a Unibet-sponsored Kempton card last week. He's not going to tell me anything amazing, is he? But he said the horse is in really good form and he's really looking forward to the ride. The stable are in good form. And finally, I've said this before, but the cherry on the top of the icing on the cake is the price. 13-2, 6-1, I think is an amazing price. I normally go for a short price horse as number one in these top fives, but I think Zavaretti's got a chance of at least half those odds. He's taken on horses that he's beaten. He's already beaten the horses ahead of him in the betting, even though he got a bump and it was 102 days following that race. So, you know, he's a very big price. I'm not as confident as I was about as Kapoor, but I still think he's a very good bet around about 13-2, 6-1.
Yeah, Zavateri in the City of York Stakes, 3 o'clock on Saturday. I could not be any more keen on this horse. I think he's going to strip so much fitter. I think the 7 furlongs is just spot on over the straight track. I think he will take some beating on the Saturday. Usually I just do a quick run through from 5-1. Before I do so, Jimmy's given his opinion on the Judgment International. I don't need a massive opinion from Robbie or Ed, but a quick line on who you might fancy in that battle, whether you fancy either of them or something else. Robbie, Judgment International, Ombudsman versus Constitution River. Who's going to win that?
I haven't really firmed up my view just yet.
You haven't?
I'm tossing and turning a little bit because I think Constitution Hill is, You got the best three-year-old against the best older horse.
Well, if Constitution Hill runs, Robbie, then we're going to be in for an
injury. I'll just say then.
Aiden O'Brien's done this, so don't worry.
What are the chances of two unreal horses called Constitution in the same... It's like they're distant. Maybe they'll race against each other one day, I don't know.
Maybe we need more Constitutions.
Maybe if you put a gun to my head, I'd go for the three-year-old. Yeah. But you're not going to do that, are you?
No, there's two votes. I mean, I'd be a third vote for Constitution River, which is interesting because it seems like, again, most of social media are all over Ombudsman. Ed Nixon.
Well, I'm a four man, and Ombudsman's got higher rating. He's done it before. He's proven very good this sort of level. I know G-Rod will hate me for saying this because he's always saying this could potentially be the best horse that Aidan O'Brien has ever trained, which was a bold statement to make before he won the Eclipse. A fair dues to Graham.
It was actually before the Jockey Club, wasn't it?
I remember him saying it before the Eclipse. Yeah. Maybe it was before that as well. But I that's a very bold statement to make given the horses that he's had. So fair dues to Graham. But at the stage, I remember saying he's not even rated higher. He's not even favourite to win this race back in, when was it, July? He wasn't favourite to win this race. So he's going to have to improve again, and maybe he will. And he's a three-year-old, and Ryan Moore seems to think he's an amazing horse. But I've got to be an Ombudsman. He's done it before. He's shown that he can win this race. He's high rated. I think he's more likely to be the winner than Constitution River.
Okay. Well, yeah, let us know down in the comments your view on that race, and let us know if you've got a best bet for York. Put them down in the comments of this video / podcast. Right, now it's time to do the quick 5-1 run through. You go from 5 down to 1. I'll let one of the guys, Ed or Robbie, go first, Jimmy, and show you how it's done. But in less than a minute, going through your 5 selections. Ed Nixon, you've done this plenty of times. Run through your 5-1 for me.
Yep, number 5 is on the Friday in the Nunthorpe. Rumstar hasn't won a Group 1. His trainer, Jonathan Portman, has never won a Group 1. He could do it on Friday, 3:35, with Rumstar. The Earcombe Stakes at Wednesday, 2:25. Gentle Hurricane's only run once, and he won that race. Goes up from novice to Group 3 for Andrew Bordier. Again, a big price with the Sheen Murphy books. The Great Voltager, the next race on the Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Maltese Cross, I think he's a forgotten horse. I think he's very good, and I don't think he's got the plaudits. I expect him to win with a penalty at the Great Voltiture Wednesday, 3 o'clock. The Yorkshire Oaks, Kalpana, is the class act in the field. Showed even improved form last time out to win an amazing King George. She's odds against at the moment. I think she'll be odds on come Thursday. And finally, the City of York Stakes, Saturday, 3 o'clock. Savateri has been out injured for a long time this season. Came back really well in a well above average Sussex Stakes last time out. I think 7 furlongs York is perfect for him. Charlie Bishop can boot him home.
There we go. Top 5 in a minute. That's how you do it. Robbie Wilders, match that.
Was that a minute?
Yeah, about so.
I think so. I was impressed with it there. All right, let's go. Let's go 50 seconds. Number 5, Manate Memas, 4:45 at York Wednesday, 5 furlong handicap. Nana Shadow's favourite. This horse is weighted to beat this horse. Got a first-time tongue tie on. Late developer. I think it'll go very well. Number 4, Waleef, 4:45 at York Thursday, 7 furlong nursery. Very informed you are there. Bethel, big fan of that operation. Got a Champagne Stakes entry, 1 from the front in a superb time. At Doncaster last time, only up 8.5 pounds. Slow it down, Rob. Number 3, Zenor Storm, 1:50 at York Friday. 3-year-old mile handicap. Form ties in very closely with exclusive code. But I thought he deserved a massive sectional upgrade that day as a slowly run race, but on a front running winner. Will beat that horse, I'd be sure of. Number 2, Satellite of Love, 2:25 at York Thursday. Harry's Half Million, trained by the man for this occasion, these big sales races, Clive Cox. Form is working out superbly. I don't think the favourite will run, Sun Goddess. Number 1, how long we got left? Rhapsody, 4:10 at York Thursday, Gautra Stakes. Don't like the favourite, Moral 4, coming off an absence, best form on the all weather. Rhapsody, again, another horse I was upgrading massively on a run in a Group 3 last time at the Curra. Bred to get this 1 mile 4, and William Haggis is the man at York as well. Thanks, Sam.
Now, if you didn't understand, you're on the podcast and listening to this, do watch the video, because whilst Robbie's talking, there is a lovely graphic on screen that showcases all his selections. So if you didn't understand, do go.
Yeah, can I just say, don't put that on times 2, because that'll sound horrible. Is there a minus option?
Yeah,
for
you can half the speed.
Do a half speed for that.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. We'll have your selections on screen as you're talking there, so no worries there. Right, Jimmy Hill, then you're 5-1, please.
Yeah, I won't do it quite as quick as Rob did it. number 5, Without Prejudice in the Galtres Stakes, Thursday at 4:10. Just a one run, unrated, but very interesting contender, lightly raced. Johanna Walsh is number 4 in the Yorkshire Oaks on Thursday, 3:35. Represents 3-year-olds who have a terrific record in this. I fancy her to beat the well-fancied Kalpana. Number 3, Constitution River in the Jubman International Wednesday, 3:35. I'm taking him to beat Ombudsman. I think he's a very good horse for Ballydoyle, and he can prove it here. Number 2, Hopewell Rock in the Ebor on Saturday at 3:35. Horse I want to remain with. Very impressed when he won at Goodwood last time. Think this test will really suit him. And number 1, Mission Central on Friday, 3:35 in the Nunfork. Don't think you'll find a better value bet all week. And Aidan O'Brien, Group 1 winning sprinter at 12-1. Think this race could really suit him. Mission Central.
There we go. Jimmy Hill's top 5 bets. That's exactly how you do it there. That was a
much nicer listen than my one, I'd say.
A masterclass in how to do it. Well done, Jimmy. Love that. So they're the top 5 bets from our panel. Do have a look at those. You can screenshot those. Hopefully, we'll have plenty of winners across the week. And fingers crossed, Ed's best bet goes in Zavateri, because that is my best bet of the week as well. Big thanks to the guys. There'll be no show on Thursday like they usually would. We've done our top 5 bets video. We'll be back the following week. We'll probably have a little bit of reaction to York and our weekend preview coming into the latter stages of the flat season. Now we'll be looking kind of towards the Ledger, and the Arc will be incoming. It's all going to be happening very soon. So looking forward to that. Big thanks to the guys. Big thanks to you for watching or listening. We'll see you again for another Racing Postcast very soon.